This is Jessica Mogilka, and welcome to The Fly-Through. Hello and welcome to the inaugural episode of The Fly-Through, a podcast where I have conversations with different folks about commercial real estate. I wanted this first episode to be really relevant to all of the things that are happening now in the world with the pandemic and the coronavirus. To that end, I invited Max Musicant on, one of the early heralds of the experiential workplace, hospitality in the workplace trend that I very much enjoy talking about. He is someone who built a business based on the idea that activation, community, and experience in public and shared spaces is really important, and that experience should not be exclusive to a tenant's private space in a building. It's the idea that inside of commercial real estate, the adage of how fast can we get a person from their car or the bus into the elevator bank and up to their space is really passé. But what happens to traditional placemaking when people can't be in the same place? So please welcome Max Musicant of the Musicant Group. He and I talked about some really creative ways that they are thinking about digital placemaking and how they're pivoting from group gatherings and that being the only way to build community into how to build community from home and on a digital platform and keeping folks engaged and hopefully healthy. Thank you all so much for joining me for this first episode, and I really look forward to all of your thoughts and your comments and many more happy podcasts to come. Without any further delay, please welcome Max. All right, Max, welcome to The Fly-Through. We're really happy to have you.
Yeah, happy to be here during this unique time.
I know. It is certainly an interesting time, which is why we decided to get going on it and get something posted where we'd really like to think positively and have some proactive solutions out there for some of our clients and prospects and the businesses that are really deeply affected by everything that's going on. We are recording on March, is it March or April? That's a good question. The 18th. So we're kind of right in the middle of all the craziness. Max and I are obviously recording this from our respective home offices. Max, will you give us a quick introduction on who you are, your company, and what you guys kind of focus on, the big picture?
Yeah, for sure. So I am the founder and president of the Musicant Group, and our mission and service is to create places where people want to be, under the assumption that wherever people want to be, they want to do things nearby, live, work, eat, play, shop, ride transit, et cetera. And from that, we then combine design, event planning, and on-site management services to activate places. And that ends up looking like we provide event planning and hospitality services to commercial buildings, public spaces that total about 6 million square feet throughout the Twin Cities. And then we translate what we learn from operating and programming and activating spaces to also offer design and planning services for the creation renovations of new and existing spaces. All around creating community and vibrancy and social and economic activity in public common area and shared spaces.
So before the world kind of got tipped on its head, describe a way that you guys traditionally build community and activate spaces. I'm personally thinking of SPS Tower and that lovely outdoor space. Do you guys activate that one, right?
Yes. Yep. So we work with a lot of commercial buildings, office buildings, industrial parks, retail areas to create daily positive activity. And so we sort of work at the ecosystem level to create really compelling experiences that draw people in and then keep people there. The longer they're there, the stronger the social capital is built, the stronger the emotional attachments, the more economic activity that will happen there. And we do that by delivering what we call like our community management platform. And that combines putting on regular events, which can be, depending on the intensity of the site, 2, 3, 4 events a week in a given location. We also handle communications, branding, and marketing for those spaces, creating and distributing newsletters, running social media, signage, external partnerships and promotion. And then we also source, curate, and care for physical amenities in the spaces that give people things to do, whether it be games or workspaces. We manage conference rooms and conference centers within buildings. All through creating that sort of that holistic hospitality service. Sometimes it's more focused on the workplace. Other times it's more public focused, but it's the same general approach of creating a great experience no matter when people are there. And then also creating regular ways for people to go out of their way to come to a space to enjoy what's happening there. So those events, to give you a taste, can range from, we run a weekly cereal and breakfast bar, which is hugely popular in the Baker Center, which is a 1 million square foot building in downtown Minneapolis. We've done a pumpkin catapult event with a tenant at an industrial park that happened to have a catapult in-house.
Hold on one second. Yeah. An in-house catapult. So this is like pumpkin chunking or something. There's like somebody that,
yes,
it's like as far as they, you can possibly throw the pumpkin.
They're a unique business. They are responsible for like all the Elmo on Ice events. And so they are a large event, sort of experiential production company that has a bunch of fun stuff in their production warehouse. And so we love to partner. And so that was a great opportunity to partner with a tenant to do something great for an entire industrial campus for Hyde development. We've also conceived of and helped create and then launch an outdoor curling experience for the Nordic building in the North Loop of Minneapolis. We put on countless concerts every year. We have a weekly concert series at another office building. In total, in 2019, we put on over 350 events at 22 different locations.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so, and then we'll get into the now, the here and now, but in regular life, do you guys manage the whole building? Do you partner with property management? How does that relationship work? Like, who hires you?
Yep. At this point, usually ownership will hire us, and we work in collaboration with the property manager. And we then have purview, usually focused on the common areas and the public spaces that are associated with private buildings. Mm-hmm. And so that has a spectrum of our involvement. Sometimes we're coming in and just doing programming and events and promotion for a given public or common area space. And then other times, like at Baker Center in downtown Minneapolis or One Discovery Square in Rochester, Minnesota, we are having managerial responsibilities around the common areas. So we have on-site hosting and responsibilities there, and we manage the conference room bookings and fulfillment for both of those facilities.
So part of the reason that I wanted to talk to you, regardless of the pandemic status, was one of my favorite things to do is trend watching and all of that, and how do trends relate to Minneapolis specifically and the larger real estate world. And you guys have been living and breathing the hospitality trend, the individualization, the activation, the community kind of trend for years. So you guys are like the forerunners to what's considered this huge trend in larger commercial real estate spaces.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. I mean,
we have been.
Have you been busy? I mean, are you getting busier? Yes. Do you feel like there's momentum building behind this trend?
I do. Yeah. And we have been very busy. We doubled our firm size last year and continue to see good things ahead despite this this COVID crisis we're in now. I think that the long-term trend is that the experience of people being in a space, no matter what that space is, matters and will continue to matter, I think, even more. And I think as we come out of this COVID crisis, which we can talk about more in a little bit, it's only going to be heightened in terms of people are going to have entrenched patterns of being isolated. They'll want to go out again, and they're going to seek out places that make them feel good. And I think the reason that that's happening is the internet and mobile technology, which is doing two things. One, it is we're able to be connected to each other, but it's also reducing the amount of socializing, the serendipitous sort of organic, unplanned socializing that's happening. And so people are feeling more isolated from each other. And two, it's giving people the power to opt out of bad environments, because there's always an alternative to doing something online, whether that's working, shopping, being entertained, socializing, really almost anything. Now, the quality of that experience of doing it online versus in person may not be as good, but if people have an alternative to having to go and be somewhere in order to do something. And so that's putting a lot more power in the hands of all everyday and ordinary people, which is great. And so people are then using that ability to opt out is then forcing property owners and businesses, organizations, governments of all kinds to create better experiences, spaces that feel better, that offer the sorts of things that people want to be able to do and feel, socializing and healthy, healthy living and et cetera. Those sorts of experiences are what is required now to get people out of the house and to do socially beneficial things. And there's an adage I once heard that the longer the lease, the worse the customer service. And so the best service you get is from a hotel, which is on a daily lease there. And then you move to a residential and then your lease is a year long. And the service is not as good, but it's, they're still somewhat responsive. And then, a typical sort of office or industrial or retail environment where you're on a 5, 10, 15 year lease, it's like you sign those papers and then you'll never see the property owner or landlord again until it's renewal time. Obviously, that's changing a bit, but I think what's a big driver for what's changing that is that even if if the tenants are on a long lease, their employees are not. Their employees are on a daily lease, or a 2 week, they're on a 2 week term. They can opt out and find a job or move somewhere else whenever they want, and with increasing ability and flexibility. And so companies and organizations, again, have to be much more attuned to creating a good experience for their own employees, their visitors, their constituents, their residents. And so that's requiring them to really up their game on their experience and then make land use and real estate decisions, both for their own internal offices and facilities, but also the common areas, the building, the general locations of where they're going, really have to deliver a compelling experience as well. And so I don't think that that's going to go away anytime soon. And if anything, I think coming out of this crisis, there's already been trends towards shrinking square footage per employee. And if people get too used to working from home, it'll be landlords will be well served to try to think about how to create office buildings and other uses that draw people in to make sure they're not experiencing a lot of downsizing and exiting from their existing and potential tenants.
Do you feel like, and I think I love all of those points that you just made. I think they're really good. Do you think that the fundamental burden of creating the employee experience is shifting from the company to ownership in a building? Who do you think bears the most responsibility for that employee experience?
Yeah. It probably is still more on the employer, but I think it used to be 100%, and now much more of it is being shifted to the landlord. And I think before it was like whatever the tenants do in their own building is in their own space is up to them, and the building owner's responsibility from an office perspective is it clean, is it safe.
And can you get in when you need to?
Can we design it so you get as can you get through from the door to the elevator bay as fast as possible? And now that's shifting because people want to, you know, they want more flexibility around where they're working throughout the day, the types of spaces. And, you know, this is nothing new for a corporate campus, but, you know, more and more people, you know, don't work in corporate campuses. They want to work in dense, urban, walkable environments where you can't have everything under one roof. You have lots of other things, but you have to share it. That's part of the benefit of being in those dense, walkable areas. And so not all organizations can provide that financially or have a culture right at this moment that can support what particularly younger workers, but I think all workers are really looking for. And so there's opportunity for the tenants not to have to bear that entire responsibility mm-hmm. in-house. And I think that there was also a feeling of exclusivity was very important and very valuable. And I don't think that that's the case anymore. There's still some maybe importance to having an exclusive amenity or privacy. But we have all the privacy and exclusivity we need and want. We have more than we want. What people are craving is connection and community and proximity, activity, energy. And those things really can only be delivered by shared spaces, shared uses. And so the building owner, I think, has a much bigger responsibility to provide that. And really, it establishes the brand of the entire building, what those common areas and those experiences are.
Yeah, and I feel like the branding of buildings is going to become more and more important. And to your point as well, not everyone has 100,000 square feet and a facilities manager in their space. You've got 7,000 square feet. Yeah. You want the opportunity to offer your employees and your prospects and your clients the same sort of from door to door experience, or that idea of like when you walk in the front door and your experience getting into the building and into the parking garage. I think that's becoming such a big conversation and a bigger conversation where hospitality and the community kind of all wraps in, which is a great time to transition to the official reason that we decided to pull the trigger on this this conversation today. You guys are all about creating community, talking about hospitality, engagement, activation. Talk to me about how you guys are thinking about and how you started when this first started happening. When did you start realizing that, okay, we may have to pivot and think about some other opportunities for activation and community?
Yeah. Well, I first started thinking about this when the first couple cases even were popping up in major on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to see the policies enacted in China around what we're calling social distancing or quarantining or in other places. And I was sort of joking at the time of like, well, this really could get at the core of what we do, which is bringing people together. And there are already places across the world that are limiting and preventing people from gathering, which is what our business and our mission is set up to do. And so that sort of humorous and lighthearted view of it, but also it was in the back of my mind that could become a reality, has come to be real. And so for us on a operational basis, we've had from all of our sites have canceled their events on at least a 2-week rolling basis, and some have been canceled indefinitely. So we have no in-person events that we're producing anymore. Our on-site management of our conference and public space facilities are all moving to being just remote or showing up on an as-needed basis. And obviously, the tenants in our office and industrial buildings that we service, many of them are going remote and are not even occupying the buildings that we would be servicing anyway. So that obviously changes things dramatically for us. And with that, though, we even before this last weekend, when I feel like things really accelerated, we had a strategy meeting last week, and are really leaning into it. And I'm a strong believer that, you know, you can really never fully show the extent of your service, your hospitality, how much you really care, except when something is hard and there's a crisis and there's a problem. And so this is obviously one of those times. So with that, we we are really thinking about, we're serving the people in the building, regardless of whether the people are in that building, and in turn servicing the owner that way, and the property owner as well. So with all these people now working remotely, we know that everyone is going through unique struggles and issues and problems. And so we want to support them as a building community. And so throughout our time in working in these sites, we're really focused a lot of time on building up communication channels, not just with the gatekeepers of various tenants, but directly with the tenants themselves. So we have a pretty robust newsletter lists and social media followings for our various project accounts. And so we're going to lean into those tools that we've been able to establish to continue to create a building community and support system for people who are used to coming to our spaces on a regular basis. And so this, we hope, will not only really help people and be a source of comfort and care and inspiration and support during this strange time, but also really communicate that the buildings that they're used to working in actually care about them, and that they're not just an inanimate object that they happen to go to every day, but it is, there are people as part of that building, their landlords and the property managers and everyone else involved is vested in the success and thriving of the organizations and the people in their building on a day-to-day basis. So I think be a differentiator for when this all settles down and people will see, wow, the building I work in actually was still with me. It was still offering up support, even in a limited way. I think that the things that we're going to be doing are going to really set apart the buildings and the property owners that we're working for.
Talk to me about what those conversations with your ownership partners sounds like. How have those conversations developed, and where do they stand now?
Yeah, so we quickly turned around like a preliminary action plan that we've sent over and discussed with our various clients. That basically laid out much of what I just stated, that we're going to lean into our communication channels we've established. We're going to be focused on producing more digital content that is focused on helping people to feel connected during this time of social isolation, to be healthy physically and mentally. During this time, to inspire some creativity, if people are feeling probably a little bit stir crazy, helping people to implement placemaking for their own home work environments, which they may not be set up for. So how to do some subtle shifts that can create a more productive work environment. And then also giving people productive outlets to contribute during this crisis. I feel like that's another big, something that a lot of people are struggling with is people like to help during times of need. And with this social distancing requirements, it can be hard to feel like you're doing something or doing enough to have an outlet for this energy. And so creating ways for people to support businesses that are maybe retail businesses, if there are those in sites that we are working in that are shut down or going to be struggling, other people in the building that may be going through hard times. We are already helping a tenant in one of our buildings sponsor a blood drive because there's a blood donation crisis that's happening right now, and that people aren't donating blood anymore because they don't want to go into blood donation facilities. And so just leveraging that collective community to make our day-to-day experiences better, even if those happen to be mostly at home.
Can you talk a little bit about placemaking at home? I love the concept of placemaking at home. Can you talk about how you guys are thinking about that and how you're encouraging folks to do that at home?
Yeah. So, thinking about like how our workstations are set up in the office, I mean, that there's somewhat of a intimacy gradient or a privacy gradient, and that there are spaces to do private and quiet work. There's places to have sort of more casual meetings, and then there's sort of open and common areas. If people don't have a home office set up, getting that sense of privacy is going to be a real challenge, especially for
my 12-year-old just kids. Walked through in the background here. Yes.
Yeah. Especially people with kids of all ages, you know, of making sure there's enough, there's some defined space there. So if you don't have a home office at where you are, create moving some furniture around so that you at least have a defined space within a corner or a part of a room that can be clear as a workspace. And that is helpful not only just to have like mentally when you're entering that defined space, you know that you're in work mode, you're not in home mode. Setting up some rituals and routines to transition from work mode back into non-work or living mode is also important. And it also, when you're in that physical location in part of a room, it sends a signal to other people in your household that you are working and that you're not just, you know, sitting there and that you unless it's very important, you don't want to be interrupted. Setting up other sound barriers, whether that can be white noise through just music in the background, obviously closing doors, setting time boundaries, and then also movement. You know, it's like, I feel like people probably don't realize, maybe some do, that how much getting up and walking, going to the bathroom, getting water, socializing is important. Making sure you're getting that same sense of movement and have places to do that in the home office is challenging and needed as well. So maybe if you can't walk as much in the house because there's not as much square footage to go through, stretching, yoga, maybe doing a set of push-ups or sit-ups or something to get that blood moving and to break up the day.
And talk about what, so you've got all these, you've got newsletters, you're reaching out to folks. Have you found any of your initiatives to be more like really successful? Like what are you finding the most engagement with?
Yeah, right now we are going to be launching this all next week because we feel like right now there's just still I think people are still in crisis mode and they're getting an unending amount of information about the spread of the virus. And what I think is going to be most needed is that I've heard this virus described as we're hunkering down like it's a blizzard, but in reality, it's the first day of winter. And so people, I think, are really in a frenzy right now, rightfully so. But the sort of the dread of winter or this longer sort of process will really start setting in next week when we start to realize that this is probably going to go on for at least another week, probably several weeks. And it's in that sort of long slog of isolation, which we're then going to like be ready to ramp up into that space. We're also planning right away to send short surveys to people pretty within that first week or two to gauge what people are struggling with at the various and would like to see and that would like to have support with at various for all of our various sites, and then to be able to customize the newsletter and digital content and the support that we're offering to match what people are struggling with. There's no substitute for asking people what they want and need and then delivering it. And so we're going to take our best guess in this first couple of weeks and then really quickly be able to iterate on that based on what we're going to be finding.
Yeah, that sounds like starting with a survey and actually just asking people seems like a really nice first step for that other companies, especially if they don't have a group like yourself that's kind of taking the bull by the horns to help think about that. Just sending out a quick survey, how are you doing? What would you like to see? Seems like a nice, a nice first step for companies as they're struggling with this. Are you doing anything to replace some of the concerts and some of those kind of more socially fun? How are you thinking about the fun things?
Yes. Well, we are going to be pretty heavy on the fun because I think that we're getting enough of the bad information and heavy stuff from other news sources. And so we are going to be continuing to do, live streaming concerts. We have a partnership in one of our buildings with the MIA, and so we'll be the MIA and other cultural organizations are putting a lot of content online, and so we'll be sharing out much of that. We already do a number of contests, and so we'll be continuing with those. Where in the past people have shared their pets, and we've had pet favorite the pet competitions for various building sites. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity to do that with things in the home, which is where people are right now, of like showing
dress
off sort of, dress your pet, show off your home office, your you know, favorite house plant, recipes, recipe books, guessing games, creating other sort of like digital games for people to play against each other. Google, mass Google Hangouts for people to connect and talk about what's going on there with each other. Jokes, short stories, poems, things just to give people some some levity to manage this strange time.
Yeah, I appreciate all of those ideas, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there right now in between reading the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and all of the news conferences. Like, I agree with you that this week is a bit of a running around trying to figure everything out, and that in the coming weeks, these sorts of connections and what can we call it? Placemaking without a place, and digital placemaking, or do you have a favorite what you can call it outside of physical gatherings?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess creating a place where you want to be is now in your own home. So how can you create your own home as a place you want to be? And I think critically, as I was alluding to earlier, making sure that when this all ends, that people want to come back to the buildings.
Yeah.
And that they feel a connection to it. They're excited about the energy and the experiences that are happening there. And that we're also already thinking about, we got to plan some big welcome back parties.
Yeah.
We don't know when those welcome back parties are going to be, but we're going to, we're already putting the pieces together to think about, on a rolling 2 or 3 week horizon, what can we quickly do to really celebrate the reopening of these shared common area spaces? And, for once, I think a lot of people will be excited to come back to the office, because we're going to be pretty dang hungry for social interaction again.
I agree with you completely. And I have a little home office that I have set up, and I've been here for like 2 days or 3 days. I feel like it's, who knows, but I think people are going to run out of their houses, just like in the spring when everybody starts walking in Minnesota after the snow starts melting, and you see all your neighbors again, and the kids grew like an inch, and somebody's pregnant, and somebody had a baby, and it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I think that people are going to really value the ability to come back together and see somebody every single day in the office.
Yes, absolutely.
I have zero concerns that everyone's going to suddenly start working remote. I do think there are some employers that will be like, well, actually, that worked okay. Maybe we can have more people work from home. But I think there'll be a big pushback to say, no, it is actually really, really important to physically be in the same place. But I'm a big believer in placemaking and activation and that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
I'm easy that way. All right, Max, any parting words of wisdom for companies trying to think through placemaking in this challenging time?
Yeah, I would say there's no substitute for asking people how they're doing and what they want. And I think sometimes people can be hesitant to do that because they feel that if people ask for something and then you don't give it to them, then they feel disappointed. I don't think that that's really the case. And I think people will be really appreciative to have not just like the technological support to be able to work remotely during this time, but to focus on the emotional support during this era as well. And that organizations that can really help people navigate the emotional and psychological toll of all this, I think will come out with obviously better business success, but that'll come through employees and people that feel cared for, invested. They'll be more dedicated to those organizations long term. And again, a crisis is a great time. It's an opportunity to highlight people's creativity and care towards one another.
Absolutely. Get creative. Make sure your folks are supported. If there are people out there that really want to have a conversation with you about thinking through their own action plan or possibly engaging with you guys to help them create an action plan, where is the best place that they can find you?
Yeah. Go to www.musicantgroup.com/COVID.
Oh, you've got a website dedicated to it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll put that in the show notes and anywhere else that we can find it. And Max, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been great. And for you and everyone else listening, stay safe and healthy.
Yeah, you too. All right, we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Hi again, this is Jessica Mogilka. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation here on The Fly Through. Reach out with some ideas, some thoughts, some feedback. I'd love to hear from you and get your feedback. You can find me on LinkedIn, and it's Jessica, and my last name is Mogilka, M-O-G-I-L-K-A. I am a tenant rep broker with JLL, so you can try and search me on their convoluted website. But you can also find me on the website for this podcast, theflythrough.com. Please send me your thoughts and feedback, and I look forward to seeing you here again soon. Thanks.